with the king topic of the day. We're down with the king, and it is Rex Ryan interviewing for the Jets head coaching job. There's a lot that's going on, so we'll get to plenty of that, whether it's the baseball rumors or, as Bogus has touched on there, Rand Carthon, BT, and how that could impact the Giants as far as Shedeur Sanders goes. But with Rex Ryan interviewing for the head coaching job for the Jets, that to me is really the one guy of the endless amounts that they're interviewing that I would not want. I think it would be entertaining. So from a talk show perspective, I love it. I think the Jet fans are almost getting themselves excited about the possibility. We've heard from a lot of fans today. In case you missed anything out, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Mostly anti-Rex, but I have heard from, in, you know, in just every walk of life, fans who are in on Rex and want him back because of what he did here. To me, there are a lot of good hires out there. Rex would not be one of them.
He'd be really among the last ones on the list for me here. Every reason that you hear about Rex is it's not about football stuff. It's all about emotional stuff, and it's, well, you know, he knows what it's like to coach the Jets, and he's the only one who can coach the Jets, and, you know, he'd give us that shot in the arm emotionally. All right, fantastic guy. Well, and then once that expires, where are we? And in my opinion, with all due respect to Rex, who I think is an awesome guy, I'd love to bang back beers with Rex. I'd love to watch film with Rex, and I'd love to watch a game with Rex. I'd love to play golf with Rex. I just don't want Rex coaching my team anymore. No disrespect, Rex. I just don't. I think it's a bad look. I mean, he's been begging for the job here for 2 months. I think it's very unbecoming. I think it's also very telling that he has been in a football studio at the behemoth that ESPN is in terms of a platform, and everybody knows his number and where he is, and nobody's even remotely reached out to him to be a head coach over the last 70% of a decade, and there's been a gazillion openings. So the Jets are going to be the dummies who bring him in when nobody else values him as a head coach. I think it's a PR ploy. I think in a lot of ways, and Rex is no dummy. He's no dummy. I think he preyed on the vulnerability of Woody Johnson here, and by putting, and that's from Rex's perspective, by Rex being so adamant about this, I'm the best guy for the job, I want the job, nobody better than me, he almost forced himself to for Woody to throw Jet fans, those who do want him, and I'm not among them, to throw them a bone. That's why he's getting the interview. He ain't getting the job. And if he does, big mistake.
All talk, no substance. We've been down this road before. We've made plenty of analogies, whether it's your ex-girlfriend. Like, there are reasons you break up in the first place, then you go back, and I've been a sucker for that in the past, and you go back, and then you realize months later, oh, you know what, this didn't work out for a reason. You can't, it would be the dumbest thing that they could do. To me, the second—
I never did that, by the way.
Really?
I swear, that never happened.
Never in my life you went back to an ex?
No.
Ever?
No.
Like, even for like a, you know—
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well— I thought you meant to go back to the relationship. Yeah. I got you.
You know what I'm saying. Anyway, it would be the second dumbest thing, or the second worst thing they could do would be hiring a first-time head coach. Like, I don't think Aaron Glenn would be a dumb decision.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think it would be a good decision for the Jets where they're at as a franchise. The worst thing they could do would be hiring Rex. Most entertaining, sure,
uh-huh,
but he just wasn't a very good coach. Let the record speak for itself. He came here and won those playoff games. I get it. The appeal of Rex is that he says what you want to hear. He doesn't back it up with anything. There's no substance behind it, but he says what you want to hear. I'm a Jet. I can fix the Jets. I know what it takes to win. None of this country club stuff for Aaron Rodgers, blah, 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 blah.
Well, Rex, who's going to be on the staff? Oh, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'm going to fix the Jets. I mean, it's just, it's a megaphone.
Yeah. I'm the Jets. I'm the best chance. Hey, what do you say? It's not even close. I'm the best guy for the job. It ain't even close. Oh, my. Yeah, you've been out of coaching for how long? You don't know anything about offense. When you did have the opportunity to be a head coach, you stunk. You wouldn't get back in to be a coordinator, but you're the best guy, and it ain't even close?
And, oh, yeah, by the way, Sal, his last 4 years as the head coach of the Jets, forget about the offense, the defense, points per game, 20th, 20th, 19th, 24th.
Right, the defense.
The defense.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Matt is calling from East Rockaway. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy New Year. How are you?
Good, Matt. How are you?
Man, what's going on, buddy?
I got a little bit of a question here. So, you know, I like Rex. I think that there's, you know, that long list of candidates they have, but the head coaching, there's not one coach on there that wants the job more than Rex.
True.
And the last time we hired a first-time head coach who was a coordinator, it was Rex. And that was the only time that it worked. I also don't believe that Todd Bowles is better coach than Rex Ryan. Todd Bowles made it to the playoffs this year. Great. the division that they're in stinks. He barely made it. The last game of the year, they made it.
Yeah, but Matt, hold on one sec. Most of the years when Rex was coaching the Jets, the division stunk as well, except the Patriots. The Dolphins have had 30 quarterbacks and 20 GMs and coaches this century, and so have the Bills.
Yeah, all right, but you know what? When Rex was the coach, you know, he lost to Roethlisberger, but he beat Peyton and he beat Brady. I mean,
and then
we haven't
for
had
five
a coach.
Years.
How many 10-win seasons has Rex Ryan had?
None.
Just one. Yeah, but one.
I'm saying after the first one. After he won nine games, the first year, overall, then the second one.
And Matt, overall, how many 10-win seasons has Todd Bowles had?
I don't know. You know the answer.
I'm looking at it. Two. And thank you for the call. Yeah, multiple double-digit win seasons. A playoff appearance with the Bucs. He's done a good job as a defensive coordinator, by the way. Had better success. Hey, he beat the Chiefs in a Super Bowl with Bruce Arians as defensive coordinator.
And by the way, one of the years that he won 10 games and didn't make the playoffs was with the Jets.
Right,
and
so,
we all had fun watching Ryan Fitzpatrick, but it's not like he had, you know, a young Aaron Rodgers or a superstar. I mean, that was a kind of a reclamation project and a little lightning in the bottle with Marshall and Decker.
And maybe for me, the most impressive thing from Bowles, and I'm glad Tampa Bay gave him the chance because it felt like he was set up to fail getting the job when Brady was going to retire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, was it the first year that he coached with Brady there and then Brady left? I forget the exact scenario.
Let me see.
Arians went away.
Did he get a year, Tom?
Bowles' first year was 2022 with Tampa.
Uh-huh.
Went 8-9. And I'm pretty sure, that, well, certainly right after that, if even that year. Hoff, can you just look that up? What year did Brady retire? Was he with Bowles in 2022? Point is, he was supposed to take over the Bucs after Arians with Brady. Brady then retired. Bowles still was given the time to turn this around. With Baker Mayfield, they go 9-8 a year ago and now 10-7 this year and win that division. Nobody's saying that he's Bill Belichick, but Todd Bowles has proven to be a good head coach.
Yep.
Taking a team that lost Tom Brady and still he did play in 2022. So his first year was Brady's. That's what I thought. His first year was Brady's last year, and they had a losing season.
Didn't they make the playoffs with a losing season? Am I misremembering that? I
thought they did make the playoffs.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so he's made the playoffs twice in his career, but they made it at 8-9.
So that
year you'd say the division stinks. But either way, point is, after Brady, I don't know about you, I was expecting, oh, man.
Three wins, four wins.
Yeah, he's set up to fail again. They lose with Brady. Brady's now going to retire. Poor Bowles is getting screwed. No, wrong again. He had his two better years without Tom Brady, 9-8 and 10-7, and who knows what the future holds with the...
He's a good coach. The problem with Todd is that the man who preceded him was just so bombastic. And it was a nice contrast when Todd was in here, professional, quiet, you know, very stoic. And that was good. It's like, okay, that's what we need. We got to, you know, reel in the circus a bit. But when the wind stopped, then that became, you know, the lack of emotion. And listen, that's one thing you're going to get with any Jets coach. And I don't hear Giant fans clamoring for this as much because they've got four trophies. But when the Jets, when whatever Jet coach it is, when he starts to lose, if he doesn't show emotion, doesn't that become the main talking point? Like Adam Gase was very detached and we crushed him for that. And Todd Bowles, that's pretty much why he was sent packing. Robert Saleh, we were always wondering, where is this guy that we thought we were getting? Like, the Jet coach has to show some emotion. I'm pretty sure Flores is going to show some emotion. And I think that Glenn would show some proper emotion as well.
Justin is in Rockaway. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. I had a comparison between... Happy New Year, by the way.
Me too.
I like Antonio Pierce and I like Rex Ryan, both kind of for the same reasons. Culture starts with the head, with the owner, and the head coach, by extension, is sort of a culture enforcer. And I think Antonio Pierce sort of brings the Raider way, but, you know, gets that buy-in that's so hard to get, that ephemeral thing. And Rex Ryan, I think, has the mouth to do that, but is in the same position as Antonio Pierce. They need really good staff. So if they're a good thing for the culture, I think Rex and Antonio both are in a good place or could be in a good place. Just, boy, do they need help hiring the right people. That's it.
Well, they've got help this year. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, Justin. Yeah, they reached out. Tannenbaum's involved. And, you know, Spielman, right? I mean, they've got some others that are involved. It's a different search, and you can tell by the names on the list. It's a different process,
right? But I don't understand Justin's point there, where he's talking about Antonio Pierce. He's like, he's lucky if he has a job beyond this. Now, not saying that's right or wrong, but it's not like Antonio Pierce has proven to be some great head coach, and Rex Ryan hasn't been.
I thought that's what he was saying. Like, I think unless I misunderstood.
I thought he said those guys need good people around them.
Oh, I see.
Like they were proven to be like leaders of guys who are going to want to rally around them.
Yeah.
But they need good coaches around them. I thought that that's what Justin was saying.
Though. Okay. Justin. Pierce had a good little pop when he first took over.
Yeah.
And I could see why people would look at Pierce and say that looks and feels like the Raiders coach.
Yeah.
Much like Rex looks and feels like the Jets coach. Until you get past the press conference and you get to what matters, and that's why I'm not interested.
Right, just hire a good head coach. You don't have to go chase nostalgia or a guy who yells and screams and says that he's going to be the best Jets head coach. We saw it already. We all saw it. We all loved the hire initially. We all wanted it to work. It was working the first couple of years. Then it fell off, and you're allowed to have losing seasons, and that's why I said the reason why I think Bowles is just a better head coach. I think it's a better proven track record. You can have losing seasons. It's how you respond to that. Rex never did, and then when he got his second chance, he wasn't any good there either. He's a 500 coach. I mean, that's basically what Rex Ryan is.
Mm-hmm.
You want 10 wins, or you want 8 wins, he's going to get you 8 wins. He'll get you 8, 9 wins. You want 10, 11 wins, he's going to get you 8, 9 wins. I mean, that's how Rex Ryan is.
Now, the one thing that for people that support Rex, if they could point to and say, yeah, that's right, once he started to lose, he was never able to stop it. Who was the quarterbacks with the Jets? Who were the quarterbacks in Buffalo? Did he have like E.J. Manuel for a minute, right? Or was he after the Tyrod Taylor? And Tyrod's a good backup, but he didn't have Josh Allen. I know
right.
He didn't have Jim Kelly.
Right, but if he did, would he know what to do with
him? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying just to see the other side of the coin, to be fair to Rex. I mean, there's generally a correlation. You find me a losing NFL head coach, and I'll show you a coach that just doesn't have a good quarterback, usually.
Right, but also we could have said the same thing about Todd Bowles. Obviously, his years here, he didn't have that. And then he goes to Tampa, and yet the Bucs, and also it's not just about the head coach, like more goes into it. You have to have a sound organization that's bringing in the right people, like taking a chance on Baker Mayfield. But we easily could have said, well, Bowles doesn't have a quarterback, but yet they've had success with Baker Mayfield. And would Rex have had the same thing? We don't know. Sam is in Manhattan. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
What's up, Rex? What's up, Sam?
Listen, I'm basically with you on Rex, or at least 75% with you. Just a couple points of context. Because one, Vrabel aside, we all agree Vrabel's the best candidate, although we're probably not going to get him. These are all 500, sub-500 coaches are unproven. This is not a great crop of candidates. They all have risk around them. If they've coached before, whether it's Nagy or Flores, they're sub-500 type of guys. That's one. And two, a little bit what the prior caller was saying. This is a team, this is a franchise for long as I've been alive, 50 years, only two or three points of time have they had any identity at all, whether it's the sack exchange, Parcells, or Rex. And they need some of that. Is he too much bluster? Yes. Is it a lot of nonsense? Yes. But there's something to be said for that. And I think you guys are going a little step too far. 4 of his 6 years, he was 500 or better. There's no guarantee with any of these guys. If we had better candidates to choose from, I'd say it's a non-starter.
Yeah.
We got to be fair about who's out there. And so, listen, I basically agree with you, but I would say I dial it back a little bit from where you guys are.
I appreciate your opinion. I respect it. I'm not going to dial anything back. If anything, I'm going to have to ratchet this up more if I start getting the sense that Rex might actually get this job. I don't want him to get the job. I don't. I'm sorry. You know, the thought that Rex is good for the job because, and this is what the last caller just said, you know, he's not really that bad. Nobody's leaning on tangible stuff with Rex.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
It's frustrating.
Everybody's talking around like, well, he fits the profile. He loves the Jets. He'll galvanize the fans. He already knows Woody. He's got the bluster. He's there. But it's nothing that actually, when you come out of a tunnel on Sunday, that's going to really impact the trajectory of the franchise, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Rex 2.0 could be amazing. I think it would be a bomb.
And the caller was right in that you can poke holes or have question marks about a lot of the other candidates. However, there are a lot fewer question marks in a lot of the candidates than there are With Rex Ryan.
Starting with the fact that they've coached recently.
Good God, that's number one. Number two, there are guys who have experience and have success. Rex didn't have that. I'm sorry, he didn't. He had two opportunities. He had a long time with the Jets to get it back on track after the initial success with Mangini's teams.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Strike one. Then he had a chance with the Bills. Strike two, he had a chance to get back in as a coordinator. Didn't take it. So right, he wanted all these other jobs. He never got it. And now he thinks he's the best based on what? Is he an offensive mind? No, he's not at all. He wasn't then. And now the league has evolved towards an offensive league. Rex is even worse now than he was then, which is saying something. Look at all the other candidates. You're telling me you'd rather go with Rex Ryan? I would rather take a chance. And again, I don't want to do this. But I would rather take a chance on Aaron Glenn.
Oh, my, it's not even close.
No, well, to
all
me, it's,
day
it's,
for me.
To me, it's close because I want experience and success immediately with this team. And like I said, I thought the time to hire Rex was in season. I don't think it's the right time to hire him now when you have everybody else available and multiple good options. Flores would be the number one guy, we both agree, outside of guys that aren't on their list. Like, I want Pete Carroll. He's not on their list. I'd be open to Gruden, Kingsbury. Those guys aren't on their enormous list. Of the guys on the list, I think Flores, to me, is the best hire. But I would even rather have the upside and potential and maybe stability, even keel, of Aaron Glenn versus the bombastic
volatile
hot air balloon that is Rex Ryan.
Put it this way, and if you guys missed it, free Odyssey app, it was really most of the show yesterday about the Giants situation, Shane and Dable being retained. Let me put it this way, if you're not buying what I'm saying about Rex now. So if the Giants would have let go of Shane and Dable, but specific to Dable here, and you and I both think that they should have, okay, they didn't. If they did, I would prefer to have Dable over Rex.
Well, not even close. Take it a step further. If they did, do you think Rex Ryan would even be a thought in Mr. Mara's head?
No, because he hasn't been a thought in anybody's head. Honestly.
Right. Why? Teams are looking for good coaches all the time. Why not? Because there's only one owner who might get suckered into thinking, and there's one fan base who might want Rex Ryan back. And that's the Jets. That's it. He's not a good coach. He was your head coach, and you had some good moments with him. It's time to move on.
I've got a, you might like this. You actually might love this. I've got a wrestling analogy for you.
Okay.
Who Rex is. You ready?
Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Because once you get past the ring entrance.
No substance.
You're not getting much more.
Can't get the job done in the ring.
Right? I mean, really, he was from a technician point, he was terrible.
That's pretty good.
His promos were terrible, but he would jolt you with that, you know, that moment of excitement, banging the ropes, and, you know, like he's kind of a one-trick pony.
Doesn't say anything. When he does, it makes no sense whatsoever. No substance. That's a great analogy. Rex is the Ultimate Warrior without the championship. BT and Sal back on the fan. We told you about a Mets news, a little note. We'll give you that here and then get back to the calls. And we'll take your calls on the Knicks. I see somebody, a couple people want to talk about the Knicks loss. We mentioned that before. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. This according to Will Salmon, BT of The Athletic. The Mets met with Tanner Scott. That according to league sources. So there's at least some appetite for exploring the top of the reliever market. Though it doesn't mean that they're ultimately going to add. Andy Martino also said the same thing yesterday on Baseball Night in New York with me, that he would think the Mets weren't going to be involved in a high-end starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case with the relievers, that he believes the Mets will at least be involved. Does it mean that they get them? Who knows, but they'll be involved in the high-end relievers here, which would be nice. I mean, they need to actually build the bullpen here. It can't be Soto and nothing else. I mean, the Mets, I respect the discipline that David Stearns has, but they got to start building a team. Spring training is next month.
It's coming.
They don't have any players yet.
It's been a little quiet.
When I say they don't have any players yet, I mean that I still think they need another arm in the rotation.
So do I.
They need an entire bullpen.
Three arms in the bullpen.
At least. Now, they're not going to get three big arms, but if you get one big one and then...
Well, like McGill goes to the bullpen.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, I think that they don't need more than three.
But they need to figure out the bullpen, and they need at least one bat, really maybe two, because they need to either bring Pete back or replace Pete, and then a DH. Like,
oh, it's very incomplete so far.
Oh, very. Yeah,
I mean, listen, you got to figure out first base. I don't love, I know he's going to be there. I don't love Nimmo in left, but okay. you know, the center fielder Siri is interesting. If he's playing once or twice a week, he can run. He's got some pop. I don't want him starting for you every day. Maybe it's Acuna. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's a trade. Maybe Acuna's at second. Maybe they trade McNeil. You know, and if they don't get Pete, do they bounce Vientos over to first? And if they do, who goes and plays third? Like, there's still, for the amazing start to the offseason for the Mets, and it was as amazing as it could possibly be, you know, getting Juan Soto, they've done nothing since. Well, the retention of Sean Manaea was big, too.
Yeah.
Very big.
Yeah.
But I think Sean Manaea is going to be really good this year. I think he's going to have a couple of good years. That new windup is interesting to me. They got more to do.
Yeah. Well, they got to build up. And I'm not usually a high-end reliever guy in free agency.
Yeah.
But they're, like, they just need arms. So if you're going to get arms, you might as well go get one high-end reliever. I don't know if I love Tanner Scott, but he's better than
filthy. He's filthy, dude.
Well, whatever. It's not my money, so what's the difference? Like, I just don't love... I would rather have spent that money on Walker Buehler, let's say, than Tanner Scott. Figure out the bullpen to a certain extent, but their bullpen is barren. They got
the bullpen.
Reed Garrett stinks. Yeah, I don't want to watch Reed Garrett again, but he's going to be a part of it. I mean, look at what they have there. It's Diaz or Bust basically right now. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Paul is in Danbury, Connecticut. Back to the football talk. Paul, who do you want for the Jets' next head coach?
I would love to see them get John Gruden. Nobody's talking about him anymore. I think he brings a lot more to the table than even Rex. I like Rex, but not again.
Oh, no, John Gruden's better. No, John Gruden's just a better coach than Rex. But, you know, the Jets aren't bringing him in. They haven't really had a conversation with him. I'm sure they've had one internally, and they made the decision not based on the stuff that's going on with Gruden around the NFL. I don't know that they have the appetite for it, but if you need a head coach and you need a CEO and you need a voice and with an offensive background and, you know, get a quarterback relationship, you can win with Rodgers now. You can go in a different direction and do that if you had to. Like, to me, Gruden would have made a lot of sense. Not a home run hire that some people thought early, but a nice solid double in the gap, maybe more. But Gruden's not even on their radar, apparently.
Which just doesn't make any sense. For what I am looking for, I think Gruden would probably be number two. Pete Carroll be number one. Gruden be number two. Basically the same model, both Super Bowl winning head coaches. You know, program changers. I think Carroll is better, especially more recently than Gruden. So there would be some hesitation on Gruden. It's not a surefire thing where I feel more confident that Carroll would be, even at the age of 73. But I still think Gruden, even though it's not a surefire, would be better than a lot of the other options out there. At the very least, bring him in. And you start to go down the list. Like, all my top choices, you know, yours may be off the board with Vrabel, who knows, but like, the top choices start coming off the board, and then we're in the same spot again with the Jets. Now, there still happens to be good candidates out there, but again, you get down to the same spot where, what, is it going to be between Aaron Glenn and Rex Ryan? Oh, my God, that would be, to me, a problem.
Well, I think Flores would push, I would hope, from the, I don't know what the Jets are really thinking. From my perspective, Rex is just... It's a token conversation.
Right.
It's what I believe. So I think that they really view Flores as somebody that they would want to hire. I don't think that Rex would usurp Flores. If that's the case, that's a bigger problem than I think.
The only question, I guess, about Flores, or even maybe it's not even a question, but like the lawsuit thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, he's employed by the NFL. Is it easier because he's in the background? You can get away with it?
I don't know.
He's still coaching.
I just feel like that's the only cloud in my mind surrounding him, because I freaking loved him.
Yeah.
When the Dolphins hired him.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of them.
Yeah.
His demeanor on the side and the way the team played. I loved Brian
Flores. Not everybody loves that disposition, though. I think it's a turnoff for some. I definitely do. I like it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if Woody then would like that. You feel like maybe not.
Well, because, you know, Rex is different. I think Flores is intense.
Oh, I love it.
Me too.
So you want for a football game.
But, agreed. But,
and also, he did have some success in Miami.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins have proven to be a horribly run franchise. So the negative talk surrounding Flores and his exit, to me, that's on them as a pathetic franchise, not on him.
Oh, dude, up until the last, you know, I know they took a big step back this year, but, you know, with McDaniel and the offense, outside of those 2 years where, really last year where they went bonkers, the Dolphins have basically been the Jets. You go and just look at all the general managers they've had, all the coaches they've had, going back to Philbin, and all the quarterbacks that they've drafted and tried to work out. Like, they really, along with the Bills until the last, you know, know, the Bills have really been much better for a while. But that's why, like, the fact that Rex didn't win a lot of games in the division, even though Brady and Belichick was in his way, it's not like the Dolphins and the Bills were model franchises, and Rex still couldn't pump out double-digit wins. And speaking of double-digit win seasons, this is the one, back to Gruden, to tie that up in a bow from our last call. Like, it has been a long time since John Gruden has won at a high level in the NFL. So in 2005, he won 11 games, right? And then it was 4 wins, 9, 9, 4, 7, 8-8, and then 3-2 before he was out with the Raiders. That, I mean, 2005 is a long... Now, it's not...
I know, I just still think he knows what he's doing.
Okay, but why?
Well, because he's done...
Because he talks well,
No, because he's done it before.
All right, McCarthy's won a championship, too. John only has one.
I would take McCarthy.
Okay, but
those are the guys that I want. No doubt guys that have done it before. Doesn't mean they're guaranteed to do it again, but I don't have the question mark if they could do it because they did do it. With Aaron Glenn, we have no idea what he's going to do.
I get that
part.
Just
for an example.
I get that. You know, I'll admit, I'm having a rough time. And Gruden's not even on the Jets' radar, so it's not worth really going to, even though people call up about him. But I do think that even for me, like, I don't know, I have a rough time stripping away Gruden, you know, the quarterback TV show that he used to do when they'd split it, cut up film with the prospects, or Gruden, the very provocative voice on Monday Night Football, then Gruden with the scowl. And, like, again, it has been a long time since John Gruden's won.
Right.
So, and won regularly even longer.
So if I ask you what are your reservations about Gruden, it would be that he didn't win recently with Oakland?
I just feel like he's a little overrated.
Or with Vegas.
Yeah, with Vegas. Okay. Yeah, I think he's a little overrated.
And, which is why I would have Carroll ahead of him. If I ask you your reservations with Pete Carroll, it would be?
I wish he was a little bit younger.
Yeah, that's it. So, like, that's why, again, after the search, now you start going down the list. If they're not going to hire Carroll, okay, well, then who's next? Gruden. As you go down the list, there are going to be more question marks.
What's the reservation with Flores? Aside from the lawsuit, because that's the easy answer. Is that it?
That's kind of what I'm saying. I don't really have one other than he's not as experienced or successful as the other guys that I would have atop my list. And that's not necessarily his fault. He hasn't had the opportunity to do that, which is why he's high on my list. But just Carroll, Gruden, you know, McCarthy, you want to throw those guys in there. That elk, and then underneath that of the other guys,
tier two,
yo, but still a top tier two would be Flores.
I don't know how you walk away with somebody like Matt Nagy and look Jet fans in the eyes and say, here we go,
a guy who's a complete whatever the Matt opposite Nagy. Of leader of men is. I'm not saying he couldn't be a good coordinator.
Yeah,
that's not it's you don't want him to
that
be
that would
your,
that
your
would be so
coach.
Uninspiring.
Dean is in Staten Island. What's up, Dean?
DC Sal, what's going on, boys?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on? Real quick, because I got to run back into work, but this franchise makes me so sick that I just had to call in. Okay. The next head coaching hire, it's got to be a guy that has some cojones. I can't have another guy that just coddles players' hands or another guy that just go along, get along. And out of all the guys that are listed as the candidates that they're going to interview, Flores makes the most sense to me. He's the guy with the most integrity. I think he's a guy that when he walks into the room, he's respected. And that's all I want is just another coach in this building that's respected by the players. Somebody's not worried about coddling Aaron Rodgers' hand or coddling Devontae Adams' hands. We need guys that hold players' feet to the fire and are respected. And real quick on Woody Johnson, I don't know what this guy's thinking. You know, 3 years now, raising season ticket prices. I'm a season ticket holder. He must be snorting glue or something. But put out a garbage product for 3 straight years, and then you jack up season ticket prices on guys that are paying PSLs, which is a scam already. It's just unbelievable. This franchise makes me so sick to my stomach.
But, Dean, you know you had the option of not doing it. You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk to you. I get it. Man, you're a good caller. You called us before. I think I actually mentioned Staten Island. I know. You're a passionate dude. You don't have to do it. You know, Woody's not sticking a gun to your temple.
Yeah, but we
but
love
what?
Doing
you don't have
it.
To do it.
No, I know, but you can't give up. Like, we just
no,
love
no, I'm not
doing
saying
it.
You stop watching the Jets, but you don't have to pay these exorbitant fees. As a consumer, you've got the right. Just like you want to cut the cord with cable, cut the cord with the Jets. Right.
But some people do love, like, for me, yeah, for you, yeah, it's easy to say, well, I don't need to go to the game. But for somebody like Dean, who maybe has had these season tickets in his family for how many years, it's a way of life for them during the fall. You look forward to it.
I get that, too.
The problem is we as sports fans, or even just as citizens a lot of times, don't have any say over certain things. like you said, like you try to take matters into your own hands, whether it's the cable situation, whether it's the PSLs or tickets. But like, if you want to watch the games, you're going to have to pay for them one way or another. You want to go to the games, you get whatever they put on the, whatever Woody Johnson decides the price is.
Yep.
If you want to go, unfortunately, you have to pay it. You can't yell and scream about it.
Yep.
You either choose not to go, to your point, or you just say, they got me, I'm going to go.
Yeah, well, that's like me screaming about the congestion tax, which sucks, and I think it's totally unfair, and it's disgraceful.
But you're not getting on a train.
My other option is to drive somewhere. I don't have a train in my town, so I got to drive somewhere, park it, get on a train.
That's what
beholden. I know.
I hate it.
I hate that. Just be beholden to a schedule. Who the hell knows what's going to happen when you get on the train? Look at our producer Pete Hoffman's account today. Go to his X account. This was this morning. Was this the one train, Pete? The 9 train? What train was this again, Pete?
The three.
This is the 3 train at 8:45 in the morning. This is not 3:17 on a Sunday night or, you know, a Sunday morning from Saturday night. This was a Tuesday morning during rush hour. There's just, it's disgrace. Just go check it out. It describes itself. I don't even have to describe it. But that's my option. So I can complain all I want, but if I don't decide to take the train, then after a while I got to shut up and stop complaining.
I got to take the train because I can't. I'm not dealing with the prices even before this. And now Dove has a solution here. Dove, you guys want to be commuter buddies? You're saying BT?
You know, I live around the corner from a train station, right by NJ Transit. Just come to me in the morning, give you some coffee, and we'll travel the trains together.
Take the train with you?
Yeah.
Or even better, Dove, you could BT could just pick you up, and then you guys could split the cost of the congestion price.
That's fair.
Dovey. Well, here's the other problem too. I appreciate the very generous offer, Dove. I'm gonna stick to my plan here. You know, I got to get out to St. John's a couple times a week, so I do need the car. Yeah. That's funny. I need the car, so it's not gonna work, Dove. I'm sorry.
What about you and I commuting together?
That'll be different. Still not going to work, but no.
It wouldn't be different. We don't want
to... I don't want to talk to anybody in the morning. I truly don't.
It would be cost effective, though.
I know it
like
would.
Like, I could drive to you,
and
then we carpool together.
It's not terrible. Yeah. Like, if you want to do it during the summer, I just don't like to talk to anybody. I want to get in the car. I want to hear Jerry's update at 7:20, which is when I'm in the car. I want to sip my coffee, and then I want to, you know, listen to Boomer and Gio. Maybe they'll talk sports, and I'll stick with them. Nah, just kidding. I'll listen to them for a while, and, you know, they're having fun, and then I got to hear music. I don't want to talk to... My phone rings. I don't answer it. I don't want to talk to you. I don't even want to really talk to my wife in the morning. I don't.
I definitely don't want to...
I'm out.
Did you ever hear when Jerry and Al used to carpool together?
No.
They used to not speak to each other for an hour.
Yeah, I don't like to talk in the morning.
That's fine. Like, so you could do that. You could actually drive into work together
and not speak.
So we had a situation. This was the holiday week where you were out, and I did the Friday show with the Francesa kids.
Yep.
And Dove and I were leaving at the same time. And I drove in that day because it was a Friday holiday week. I'm not dealing with the train. And then at the end of the shift, Dove was like, oh, which way are you going home?
Oh, don't say he weaseled in.
Then I was like, oh, well, I might be going this way. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, I live, you know, right off that road.
Oh, I mean, I'm going the other way, Dove. I'm sorry.
And I felt guilty, but I drove home by myself.
You left him there?
What am I supposed to do? Was that a bad move, Dove?
To Dove's credit, he
did say, no, don't worry about it. But
he just felt embarrassed because you turned him down.
No, I didn't turn him down.
He could tell by body language you had no interest.
I had no problem with Sal, did. I didn't want to inconvenience him. And you know that I was really joking about telling you to come to my house in the morning.
Dove, if I would have said, I'll drive you home, you would have taken the ride, right?
Yeah, he would have. He would have, absolutely.
If you were driving down 3 anyway, then perhaps.
Yeah, I still wasn't sure. And then I was like, oh, now do I feel bad. I want to be a good teammate.
You didn't want to talk to him.
No, it's not that. To your point, like, I got to get in the car, call my wife, which I did, you know, for 40 minutes on the way home.
Why? That's your first mistake.
Well, at that particular point, remember, it's a holiday week. I'm supposed to be on vacation. There's stuff going on that we got to attend to.
Because I feel like every time you get in the car, you tell us a story about how you called your wife, then don't call her.
I don't
really call my wife when I get in the car.
Well, sometimes she'll call me. You know what I mean?
Don't answer.
Yeah. I feel... Again, same thing. It's not even my wife. My mother's calling.
That's different. Like, Mama calls. We got to pick up the phone.
Point is, Point is, I stiff dove. I didn't give him a ride home, and I felt guilty about it.
I will say this. There are times I walk out with not just you guys, other people.
Yeah.
I'm walking to the path. It's cold outside. How about giving somebody a ride to the path station?
Okay, see? See? All right.
Start to beg a little bit now, though.
BT and Sal on the band, 88. B2B House. What time you leave tomorrow, though? You'll be ready at 8? 888-808-1019. We come back. We'll have Brian Baldinger get his thoughts on who the Jets should hire, see what the Giants did as well, and maybe a little wild card weekend. BT and Sal on the fan. BT and Sal. Just kidding. I love Ovi. BT and Sal back on the fan. Maybe we'll get into that coming up in a little bit. Right now, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, we've been talking about Rex Ryan to the Jets. Obviously, he's interviewing today, a long list of candidates for the Jets. What are your thoughts on Rex potentially getting that job?
Well, I'm a Rex Ryan fan, and I always have been. I was in Philly with his dad. You know, I'm a fan. You know, I mean, I think the Jets should talk to him, period. I mean, he's the last guy to have real success in that building, and maybe he knows things that anybody that's interviewing him could learn going forward, whether they decide to bring him in or not. I know he wants the job really bad. And I'm sure
how'd you ever learn of that? I mean, did you hear him begging for it for the last month?
Well, you can't help, you know, I mean, yeah. Rex has a big mouth, and he's not afraid to use it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, every time, I tell you this, though. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. Honestly, I have no idea. The GM, I mean, all that stuff, is in play. But, honestly, I never get tired. I mean, if I'm just talking to Rex Ryan in a room, I never get tired of him talking football. Like, I know there's a lot of bluster and all of that, but he is a great defensive coordinator. And defense still does win you championships in big games. Like, I just like the guy. So I'm a fan, and I listen to I've seen all the other guys that they're interviewing. I don't know why Rex isn't as talented or as, as good a candidate as any other guys being mentioned out there right now.
Well, Boldy, take the Jets out of it. I mean, Rex has been in a nice, cushy television studio. Everybody knows where he's been for basically 70% of a decade, but nobody's really been banging on his door to be a head coach. I mean, doesn't that tell you all you need to know?
Yeah, I mean, look, he failed the last 4 years in New York, no question, and he wasn't good in Buffalo. And so, maybe his time ran out. But the roster is important and who your quarterback is. And, you know, he'll tell, the people, in Florham Park today that I went to two AFC championship games with Mark Sanchez. And one of those years was his rookie year. I know how to run the ball. I know how to build a roster. I mean, he's going to tell them what I think we all know. This doesn't guarantee anything at this point. This league is changing rapidly. How you defend quarterbacks, the college game is a big part of the NFL. How you build your roster around the quarterback is really important. So, I mean, there's some things that maybe Rex isn't in touch with right now. Maybe the things that him and his dad and his brother believe in aren't the way to necessarily win right now.
Well, that was actually going to be the next question I asked you, so I'll ask you this. When you did talk a lot of football with Rex, and I'm sure those were great conversations, you ever talk about offense?
No, I just talk about defense.
But that's the thing, Baldy, right? Like, if I'm the Jets, don't you at the... Yeah. Like, for me, my criteria, and maybe yours is different, I'd be curious to get your thoughts. I want an experienced guy that has had success before, and if not bad, then I want an offensive mind. Rex is really... I know he's had some success, but I'm talking about, like, Pete Carroll, Super Bowl winning success, not what Rex had, winning some playoff games. Don't you think the Jets should, if anything, lean maybe more offense this time?
Well, look, let's just say, like, if I wanted to run an offense in today's world, I'd take somebody from Sean McVay's staff. I mean, Liam Cohen, I mean, all these Dave Canales, like, Kevin Connolly, like, all these guys right now are winning in this business. So, that's the offense I would want. And I think Rex knows that that's kind of the winning offense. So, I mean, I would pair him with them. But, yeah, I mean, look, the argument is, if you take a defensive guy and you bring your offense coordinator in, and he has success, he's going to be a candidate to be a head coach someplace else next year, and then you're going to have to replace him. We see it happening all the time. It happened with Tampa Bay last year. They lost Canales. Now they got lucky. They brought in Liam Cohen. They've had actually a better offense than they ever had last year. And it was an upgrade at that position. But I mean, that's the danger of going with a defensive guy.
Boldy, I'm going to give you a couple of names here. This for the Jets job, encompassing everything, where they are with the roster, blah, blah, blah. Just give me a quick first reaction on each of these names. You ready?
Yep.
Brian Flores, Jets.
I love him. I love him because I think he's the Bill Walsh of defense right now. His defense is spreading quickly around the league.
Okay.
And it's effective. Even in the loss to Detroit the other night, I mean, they led the league in interceptions from 24. They got two against, Jared Goff the other night. And they had a bunch of tackle for losses and splash defensive plays. Now, the offense didn't do anything with it. But that is the new defense in this league.
Okay. I love him. Aaron Glenn.
I like Aaron Glenn, too, because you look at what he's doing with what he has lost. That's coaching. Like, he's taking guys off the street.
Yes.
And putting them in the line.
A lot of
he's
injuries.
A 5'8" corner.
Yeah.
That's been a slot corner his whole life. And putting him on Justin Jefferson, Amik Robertson, and shutting him down. Like, I like Aaron Glenn a great deal.
Matt Nagy.
I'm not as high on Matt, although I'm sure the second time around, after going back to the nest with Andy Reid, that he would be a little bit better. But he is a creative offensive mind. Mm-hmm. I would say that.
Last one. How about Kingsbury for the Jets?
I love Cliff. My problem with Cliff, and I've known him since he was at Texas Tech, and I've known him a long time. He's having great fun. He's really just married to his quarterback and to his offense. I don't know that he can change their defensive. He's got to have a very strong defensive coordinator to be successful.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking to Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Baldy, we know Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are back. We know the Giants have the third pick in the draft. We know the owner said they better figure out a way to get a quarterback this year and win. Where do you think they go for that quarterback, whether it's the draft or free agency or trade? Who is going to be the franchise quarterback for the Giants next season?
Well, without even really studying the quarterback class that hard yet, there's not a quarterback in this draft worth the third pick. So now, but quarterbacks get overdrafted all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe one of these guys can become Bo Nix or one of these guys can become Jaden Daniels. I don't think so. But, you know, that's what you're hoping. Or Michael Penix Jr. I don't see a quarterback with his ability in this draft at all. Either you overdraft somebody, maybe trade back and get somebody, but they're going to go high. Shador and Cam Ward are going to go high because there's eight teams that need quarterbacks right now. So they're going to go high and probably overdrafted. Maybe the Giants can get one, but then you go to the secondary market and, is that Kirk Cousins? He's going to be available. Is that Sam Darnold? He might be available after his performance the other night, but I kind of think Minnesota's going to try to re-sign him. I know he wants to be there. But, I mean, it's not kind of slim pickings out there right now.
Well, you saw all the film, so if you need a quarterback next year, would you be interested in Rodgers?
No. I just think that he's not going to get any younger. We saw limitations this year. He can't put the ball through the tire the way he once used to. You can see the frustration in his face sometimes when he's hitting, Kenny Yeboah in the calf, that he should be hitting him in the hands going in the end zone.
Yep.
We see him throwing these interceptions that we're not accustomed to him seeing. But he's in a big hurry to get rid of the football. He's flicking the ball instead of driving it. I mean, I just think there's things that he has to deal with being 42 and not having the same ability that he once had. And I think that, although I saw him live on Sunday, he was excellent on Sunday. But I don't know what Miami was doing. Were they really playing hard? I mean, we saw him the week before. It was 40-0 against a legit team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're looking at a guy that can have moments still, for sure, like he had on Sunday. But, the week before, it was god-awful.
And Baldy, what about the thought? Because he talked about this. I don't know if you saw Enigma, the docuseries on Netflix. He talked about this. Sal brought this up the other day as well. I think it's a good point. you know, he never had a chance to regenerate because he went from getting hurt four snaps in to feverishly, even though it seemed crazy in hindsight, but feverishly rehabbing with a new procedure that was a little bit advanced to try to come back if the Jets made a playoff push last year, to grinding all offseason to get himself back. What about the thought with some conventional offseason rest that Rodgers' body's going to look a little different? I know he's older, but you don't think that that's possible?
No, it's possible. It's possible. We've seen him before the, have a calf injury before he tore his Achilles. One off season 2 years ago when he first got signed. And, you know, then we saw multiple injuries this year that we know he had to deal with, and that's what pro football players do. They play through them. You don't say much about them. You just play through them. But we know that they were there. But we've seen, I mean, he might be different, but we've seen Favre, we see him drop off. We've seen Eli and Peyton fall off. We've seen Drew Brees fall off. I mean, we've seen one guy that weathered that 40-plus-year-old storm, and that was Tom Brady. And maybe Aaron could be that guy with an offseason, but it's a gamble. Because what if he comes back and he can't get out of his way and he can't escape the rush and he's not throwing it the way he once used to be able to throw it? Like, it's a gamble to invest, because it's an investment, saying, okay, he's our stopgap quarterback until we find our, you know, Jaden Daniels for the future.
Problem is, what are the other options? We said the same thing for the Giants. Well, you'd say the same thing for the Jets. Who the hell is going to be the quarterback then?
I agree. I mean, some years there's four of them, like there were this year, or more. You know, I mean, I think the three that really flourished, Penix the last 3 weeks, Bo Nix in the playoffs, Jaden Daniels in the playoffs. I don't see that in this year's draft. And sometimes they just don't have those guys in the draft. They're just not, you know, there's not one, there's not two, there's not three. We've seen plenty of drafts like that. And maybe there's somebody that we're not talking about that can become, you know, their quarterback that we haven't really begun to investigate.
What about the kid from Penn State if he comes out?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think Aller is, you know, a good prospect. I mean, I'm going to watch him, you know, on Thursday night and see what he does against Notre Dame. I mean, we're all going to kind of watch him during this game. That would be like his first big test.
Yeah.
You know, it's a semifinal game. He's got basically baby Gronk at tight end for him. You can throw the ball to Ty Warren every play. You can't go wrong. He's 6'7", 260, and he runs like a deer. Like, I mean, I just throw it to that kid every play. But, like, that's going to be a good game to kind of watch and study and see if you can get excited about him right now.
Thank you,
and I don't know if Drew Aller's coming out or not right now, but I'm sure a great game is going to sort of make a decision for him.
Yeah, and if Notre Dame kicks their ass, then maybe he stays in college one more year. Thank you, Boldy.
Maybe if Notre Dame kicks his ass, you take Riley Leonard. Like, I just knew that kid at Duke was really good. He's really good at Notre Dame right now, too.
All right, Boldy. We look forward to the wild card weekend and even the college football playoff games. We'll talk to you next week. We appreciate the time, as always.
Good job, bud.
As always, guys, yep. Happy New Year. You bet.
You too.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Now, I know Baldy was high on Michael Penix Jr., but he mentioned it. Like, last year, that's why, BT, I can't let it go. Even if you let all the mistakes before that go that the Giants made, they needed a quarterback last year.
Yep.
Like, the same thing that Mara is now telling this regime now, I was telling him last year before the draft. You need a quarterback. Get a quarterback. So how come I, a know-nothing talk show host, can figure out that the Giants needed a quarterback in a quarterback-rich draft? They don't take a quarterback. They take a wide receiver. A year later, after the most embarrassing year in the 100-year history of the franchise, the owner is now saying, you need to take a quarterback. Now there aren't any good options. It's just a freaking mess, potentially beyond repair.
You should be the GM.
I think they'd be in a better spot. BT and Sal, all the fan. We'll come back, get more of your calls. 888-808-1019. Are they hiring? My number, I can give you my number.